Now, at Misfit, at my company, this is what we are functionally. These are the things that we do. We're an eclectic company. The technical term for Misfit, we do many different things. I've eschewed the advice to do one thing and be very good at it. I like to do lots of different things. But 90% of the people who have come to us at Misfit, the people who engage with us, came through this. This is a free 16,000-word collection of essays that articulates some of the things we believe as a company. It can be found on my blog. It's been since turned into a book, but it can be found on my blog today for free on The Pursuit of Everything. It's been downloaded literally hundreds of thousands of times, and it continues to be the main point of entry for all of our work at Misfit. Now, whenever I consult with organizations about content strategy, no matter how big or small, one of the great, and this is just a pro tip for you guys, this is just a pro tip, one of the main things that I mentioned right from the beginning of any content strategy is to take the time to write a manifesto. Take the time to go through the cathartic process of articulating why you do what you do. It will be invaluable and it will change everything about your business. Now, once you've defined your category and augmented attributes and your ethos, your essence as a company, it's time to start thinking about content marketing. Now, what is content marketing? Content marketing is defined as any marketing that involves the creation and sharing of media to acquire or retain customers. And it is the most effective, low-cost form of marketing that the world has ever known. But before we can even start, we need to answer these three questions. Now, this seems obvious, but you would be surprised at how many organizations don't actually, and companies and entrepreneurs don't stop to ask these questions of themselves before they get going. Who is your customer target? And not just your potential customers, but your stakeholders. If I'm Disney and I'm selling a new kiddie movie, right? The customer, the one who's buying, is the parent. But the most influential stakeholder is her 7-year-old daughter. You understand? So understanding the full scope of the people who are influencers in the decision to purchase. Now, at larger organizations, and I suggest this for even small businesses as well, we create what's called customer personas, where we actually create fictitious names and fictitious biographies of the people who are stakeholders or involved in the decision of purchase, because it helps you understand and stay focused on those people as you create content. Now, two is what your exact offering is. What is specifically, what is the offering or service that you are providing me? And this is where your category attributes come in helpful. And then the third, of course, is why, your uniqueness, your value proposition. And this is where augmented attributes and ethos and essence will help define why it is that I should pay attention to you in the first place. The answers to these questions dictate the content that you produce, the audience that you produce it for, and the platforms that you'll end up using to distribute the content that you create. Now, this right here is a basic marketing matrix. It's what we use at Misfit whenever we're launching a new line of business, a new project, or if we're consulting with a client on any new activity that they're launching. This is fairly simple, and I'm going to start right here from the left. You have your properties, right? These are the things you own, your website, your blog, your newsletter. And then you have your embassies. These are all your social outlets. And it can include, it shouldn't include everything. It should only include what's relevant to you and your customers, which is not every social platform under the sun. Brand mentions. This is what you don't control as much. You can control a little bit with PR, but you can't really control it that much. This is how and when people are blogging about you, reviewing you on sites and whatnot. And then advertising. You have full control over this, right? Because this is your ad buy. And in this case, I'm focusing particularly on paid search and social, because both of those should apply to every small business, no matter how small you are. For the sake of this, the next few minutes, I'm going to focus on the first two, on properties and embassies, because A, it's either no cost. Those two areas, channels, are either no cost or low cost, and you control them entirely. You control what you do there. Now, notice one thing about this matrix, this basic matrix here. Everything is fed by content. Fred Wilson, famed venture capitalist in New York City, who runs Union Square Ventures, who backed Twitter, Tumblr, and every other startup under the sun, has said, in no uncertain terms that currency, that the currency of the web are links, are hyperlinks to something else, to content. The creation of content is what you share on your blog, on your newsletter, on your embassy. So we're going to get into a little bit specific examples of what that is. So first, we'll take a look at email newsletters. Email newsletters are simultaneously the most unsexy yet highest converting content marketing channel that you have available to you today. My buddy Jeff Pulver, who is the founder of a company called Zula, and he was one of the founders of VOIP, so Voice Over the Internet, one of the people that pioneered it in the early 90s. He told me one time, AJ, always remember this, no matter what happens in the social web, no matter all these cute little tools that come up, you live and die by your email list. You live and die by your list. You can set up an email newsletter easily and freely using things like MailChimp, which I'm sure all of us in here know about it. And now I'll give a perfect example of a company that uses their newsletter effectively as a marketing and content marketing tool. Creative Market in San Francisco. How many people have heard of Creative Market? So Creative Market is an online marketplace where you can buy design assets directly from designers and developers. Effectively, it's a farmer's market where artisans can sell fonts, typography, themes, plugins, templates, graphics, things that you, as a non-designer, non-developer, can purchase and employ easily on your site. It's a brilliant concept. They curate the world, their community of designers, and then provide this in an easy shopping cart for you to buy. It's really great, great service. Now, they send out this weekly newsletter, Creative Market does, highlighting their new designers and their new design assets every week. Now, the essence, it's a beautiful little newsletter. The essence of the newsletter is to provide design inspiration. It's not salesy. They do point back to their work, but it's not a bunch of buy buttons all throughout the email. They spotlight new shops. They curate things that I might be interested in. They get to know me over time based on purchasing patterns and click-throughs on the things that I will actually dig. So it gets better and better over time as I use it. And it's actually very, very useful if you're at all in a design industry, which at this day and age we all are. Now, does this drive sales? I had my accountant pull this from our accounting records at Misfit. So you can look there at the bottom. That little inspiration newsletter that Creative Market sends me weekly has cost me $161 in tiny little transactions over the course of the last 6 months. That's just me and my company. If I included Melissa and the rest of my staff, many of whom need design assets, all in the last 6 months, we've spent $500 just by clicking through on an email newsletter that they send weekly to give us design inspiration, but in the end, many times, leads to some type of conversion. That's insane. Now, Creative Market have over 250,000 members, and they're only 2 years old. You do the math on whether this piece of content for them, and this as not a cutesy newsletter, but as a significant strategy in their marketing matrix, is something that's worth doing. Now, let's take a look at another form of content marketing. Blog, right? Everybody knows about blogging. This is absolute baseline for any company or organization. It's easy to set up on things like Squarespace, Tumblr. My personal favorite is WordPress. You need a little bit more game to be able to develop there, but I think it's the best of what's available and out there for us today. If you don't have a blog as a small business these days, the chances are you literally do not exist. And your activity on your blog should never be haphazard. We always talk about, whenever you come and think about a blog, it shouldn't just be about talking, you know, oh, this is happening in the office, or hey, I'm thinking about this idea. Set up an editorial calendar. We take blogs, and you know, we take advantage of blogs today. We take it for granted that we live in this time. But it gives us the opportunity to have our own editorial under our control. If we went back 15 years and told business people then that they would have this level of power, they'd be shocked at the possibilities. Now, a fabulous example of a company using their blog to drive traffic and to gain audience and awareness is Buffer. Buffer, who here knows Buffer? Probably a few more, yeah. Buffer is a simple tool that allows you to manage all your social media accounts in one place, allows you to schedule out updates on all your social media accounts. They do this for businesses as well, and for businesses they provide deeper analytics for $10 a month, and they've got an interesting premium strategy. Now, their blog is ubiquitously spoken about as an indelible resource for people, for social media managers and people that are in that are social media professionals. It's a congregating point for their community, and their blog is why people know them. But the genetics of their blog is free education. As you can see from this update, and this is a typical blog post by Buffer, they don't actually talk about themselves much. Buffer is one of the most open, helpful, and transparent companies on the web. And the purpose of their blog is to be helpful, to be informative, and to position themselves as thought leaders in social media, which is the space in which they operate in. They've already published, I think it's 595 articles, but only one in 20 of those articles are about Buffer and about the work that they do at Buffer. 19 of the 20 are free education and information that they provide for their community and growing their community base. Now, recently, they used a free tool called Screaming Frog from a company called SEO Spider. It's a free tool that allows you to measure on your blog. It's a desktop application, and it'll measure analytics from your blog and actual SEO terms and how you're performing in different social sharing outlets. And they learned a few things about their content activity that I thought it might be useful for us to know. You see anything peculiar here? The articles that have the highest shares are also the ones with the most words. This is completely perpendicular to what people tell us to do on the web. What people are telling us, what conventional advice is that everybody's lost their ability to focus, right? Nobody reads anymore. That's what we hear all the time. It's a 140-character world, so we need to keep everything short. Your blog should be 300 words or less. But Buffer outlandishly performs on articles that are 2,500 words or more. Now, why is this the case? It's because they understand their community. Their audience are social media professionals that need continuing education. When their audience went to school, right, social media moves at such a clip that there's nothing in textbooks that actually talks about anything relevant to social media today because it moves so fast. So this is their textbook. They need it. They need this information. And Buffer provides a valuable service to their community by providing this for free. Now, if you know your audience and you know your stakeholders, you can start to craft content that is specifically for them. They also learned, to their surprise, that their content had been prolifically shared around on Pinterest. Now, what did they do about that? They began optimizing all their blogs, right? Normally, on a blog, you would have horizontal or square photos. They started optimizing and going back in time, optimizing their blog posts to create vertical photos because they visually display better on Pinterest, and they realized how much it had been sharing on Pinterest. They also started to include a bit more infographical information in the photos that they shared in association with their blog posts. And they started using something called rich pins in Pinterest, which is a simple snippet of code that'll pull the headline, the author, and a little bio about what the article is about. Some other fun facts that they learned. The most popular days to post were Tuesday. Most popular days to share was Monday. So they started changing their activity in their content marketing and said, okay, Monday's the most popular day to share. When we really want something to get out there in our editorial calendar, we'll make sure to bring it up on Mondays. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the people who do this right, who do content right, particularly blogging in specific, they realize that it should be data-driven, right? Although it's a service to your community and the purpose that you do, that you blog, is not to convert, it's not to be a salesy person, that everything you're talking about is how people can buy your stupid product, right? But by using tools like Spider, which I had mentioned, you can actually create data-driven analysis that lets you know, well, what do people actually dig? What do they share? How many words do they want to see? And it can help inform any content strategy that you provide. Now, here's another example of a content platform that people use, but many small businesses and startups don't, and I'm not sure why, because it's ridiculously inexpensive. At Misfit, whenever we talk about a content strategy, it's three pillars. Newsletter, it's what I've just talked about. Newsletter, blog, and an actual serious blog strategy and content strategy there, and a webinar program. Webinars give you the opportunity to host virtual events about topics that are related to your industry. It doesn't matter if you're a baker, It doesn't matter if you're Buffer and you're in social media. It doesn't matter if you're an app builder. It doesn't matter what type of business you're in. It basically allows you to produce a workshop or a conference similar to this setting, right, but without the cost and without actually having to gather people in one physical place. Now, Citrix, a client of ours, longstanding client of ours, their webinar program, for example, never highlights their product, never. They simply invite experts in their field and in their world to share about topics that they know that their target market will dig, things that they think that their target market or their stakeholders or their audience could gain something from. And by doing this, every time they launch a webinar, right, they collect prospects. They collect emails, names. They also ask people to put in their industry and their title. They know about the people who are approaching it. It's gated content. There's a gate there. The currency isn't money. It's free. But the currency is your email address and a little bit more information about you. And that, they produce dozens of webinars a month. And they don't even have to create the content themselves because they just ask experts to come on, similar to the way that Magdalena here asks other people outside the university to come out and share with you guys. It's the same model. Now let's take a look at something a bit more non-traditional in our content strategy, Instagram. We all use it, right? Most of us use it to document and curate the exhibition of self, don't we? But let's look at an example of Instagram being used as a content strategy by a real business. Now WolfTree, at Misfit, we run a publishing house, which I mentioned, called Misfit Press. We love to focus, we come from an artistic background, I come from a design background, so WolfTree is a creative arts magazine. It's a print magazine, there's no digital copy of it, creative arts journal, and it's about makers and artists in the Midwest. Now, because of our market and because of human resource limitations, WolfTree is one publication that we have that we acquired, and we only have two part-time staff on WolfTree, which both of them were founders, very creative people, amazing folks. But because of those limitations, we have to limit the scope of the channels we can be in. So we actually use Instagram as our primary marketing channel. Now, WolfTree is currently, as a startup, we're only on our third issue, and we're currently being distributed on shelves in retailers in 8 countries. All 3 issues have sold out, and we're doubling the print run for issue number 4. And our entire content strategy is based in our community and Instagram. So what type of content do we produce and create here? Well, our Instagram is fairly simple. It's just an extension at WolfTree of the ideas and stories that you might see in any issue. Sometimes we run contests where people can possibly win a copy of a limited edition magazine. It's also an insight into the world and into the mind of Noah, who is the founder and creative director of WolfTree. So getting an insight into the way he looks. He's a photographer. He's beautiful, beautiful photography. And sometimes this happens. You can see in a comment right over here, anyone in Minneapolis retail your magazine? So by creating this community online that is about photography, it's about beauty and simplicity, and about the maker movement, and about the artisan movement that's cropping up in the Midwest, we've collected this community, and some of those people stop by and actually want to become customers. And it is the only way that we market, and it costs us exactly $0. Now, there is one truth that binds all of these organizations and all these examples that I've given you together. They understand one concept, one precept, that the concept of community is more powerful than the concept of a customer.